Begin the current daf, Mesechtas Makos daf Chaf. Begin on the bottom of your Testament base, three lines up in the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara continues on the halacha that was mentioned at the end of the previous daf. And that is Reb Asi said in Nimri Reb Yechanan, regarding the halacha of our Mishnah, that regarding if someone eats Meiser Sheni out of the wall of Yerushalayim, that he gets lashes if he eats it without redeeming it. And that said Reb Asi Reb Yechanan, that's only, as he learned out from Pesukim, if it was first taken into Yerushalayim, where then it was able to be eaten, and then he takes it out and eats it there without redeeming it, that's where the liability is going to be for getting lashes. But if it was never yet brought into Yerushalayim, then although it's out of Yerushalayim, and the halacha is that you have to either redeem it or bring it to Yerushalayim, but if he eats it there out of Yerushalayim, he's not going to get lashes. That was his halacha. And that the Gemara continues and says, Mesiv. The Gemara asks from the following Raisa, from the teaching of Rabbi Yisi. Rabbi Yisi, I mean, he says, Koyin sha'olsa biyadu te'ena shal tevel. He describes a case regarding a koyin that he happened upon a date of tevel, where that was from new produce that was not yet tithed, didn't have all the tithes taken off of it. So what he did was as follows. Amar, he said, he wanted to rectify that it should not be tevel anymore. So he said, te'enezu, this, all he had was this fig, so, but he wanted to take off all the tithes from it itself. So he said, trumasa ba'ukta. He went in order of how the tithes a person has to separate. First, he took off the truma. He said the truma should be by the stem, towards the tail end of it. That should be the truma part. Maiserisha in Bitzvaina, the first tithe, which is a tenth of the fig, should be towards the northern part, because he was holding it towards the east. So the northern part should be the Maiserisha. And so too, the second tithe should be towards the southern part. Now the reason why he had to do it like this is because you need to have these tithes that are called reishes. The first, that what's called shiyareu nikaren. It has to be recognizable what is the tithes and what is the other part. So therefore it has to be definitive, the area that this is, and then you can eat around it, and then you'll give later on this to the Kayin, this to the Levi, you'll give it wherever it belongs. In contrast, as Rashi brings, as Rivan brings from a Mishnah, Masechtas Demai, that if someone says, we're guarding a barrel of wine, and he says, oh, the two lugan that I'm going to end up separating their truma wherever they are, that disagrees with this halacha, where they obviously do not require a rachis that has shireh in the current that they're left over, which is the chulin part, is recognizable. Our Bryce of Rabbis is saying that it has to be recognizable. Moreover, v'hishnas ma'isa sheni was in the second year of the Shemitah cycle, which is a year where it's fit to give the ma'isa sheni the second tithes, and v'hu b'Yerushalayim. The Kohen, when he was calling all these designations, saying that this is Truma, this is ma'isa rishon, this is ma'isa sheni, on this fig itself, he was in Yerushalayim when he was going to eat this fig. Or you could say that the second tithe is not that of ma'isa sheni, but rather that of the poor man's tithes, where it's, let's say, in the third year of the Shemitah cycle, where then instead of giving Maaser Sheni, the halacha is you have to separate Maaser Ani. And he says the Maaser Ani is in the southern part, and he doesn't say anything about Maaser Sheni because there is no Maaser Sheni. And then Vahu Begvul, then he could even be out of Yerushalayim, because Maaser Ani could be eaten anywhere. In contrast, Maaser Sheni has to be eaten in Yerushalayim. So he thinks he takes care of all the things, and Ochle, and then he goes and he eats the fig. Continues Rabbi Yis in the top of Chaf Med Aleph, Loika Achas. He gets one set of lashes. Why? Because he didn't uproot the totality of Tevel by all these designations. Because ultimately, although he is allowed to eat all those things, but in one of those things that he designated was Maiserishin, that Maiserishin part is Tevel because it didn't have the Trumas Maiser separated from the Maiserishin. Meaning when you give it one tithe to the Levi, he has to then separate a tithe from that to give it to the Kohen, which is called the Truma of the Meiser. So therefore he violated the negative prohibition of Tevel because ultimately he didn't rectify this fig because he didn't separate everything from it because the Meiser Rishon still has Truma's Meiser in it. Now, in contrast, however, regarding the Truma, that's not a problem because he's a Kohen. Now, so although in the Truma's Meiser, in the middle, had he separated from that Meiser Rishon Truma's Meiser, he would have been able to eat that and he wouldn't have gotten any lashes because he's a Kohen, he's allowed to eat Truma's Meiser. But ultimately, he didn't separate the Trumas Meiser from the Meiser Rishon, so the Meiser Rishon was still Tevel. It wasn't a complete rectification of all the parts of that fig. And so too, Meiser Rishon, Meiser Sheni, Meiser Ani is not a problem, because even for non-Kohen, they're allowed to eat it. So though essentially he's really allowed to eat the whole fig, and he went and separated everything, but there's one step that he didn't do. He didn't separate from the Meiser Rishon, Trumas Meiser, and therefore that Meiser Rishon was Tevel. When he ate that part of the Meiser Rishon, he violated that Tevel, and therefore he gets one set of lashes. Now, Bazarish Ha'achle, if it was a non-Kohen who ate it, like Yishtayim, he would get two sets of lashes. One is the Truma, which was separated in that fig, and also the Maisa Rishon, which had in it, that was Tevel, because it didn't have the Truma's Maisa separated from it. Where, interestingly, She'ilu B'tchila Ha'achle, had he eaten it without separating the tithes, Eina Loike La'achas, then the non-Kohen would have actually only had one set of lashes, it would have just been Tevel. Now that he separated, part of it is Tevel, which is the Maisa Rishon, that didn't have Trumas Maisa taken off from it. And there's also Truma in this fig, which he gets punishment for that too. That's the Brice of Rabbi Yisi. So says the Gemara in its question, sounds like Taima de Isa, sounds like from Yisi's Halacha, that since the Maisa Sheni was Birushalayim, in Yerushalayim, so then if the Kohen eats it, or the Tzar, the Kohen's going to get only one set of lashes, and the non-Kohen's going to get only two sets of lashes. Habigvulin like Yishalish, it sounds like, but if let's say it was out of Yerushalayim, then he would have gotten three sets of lashes if it was a non-Kohen. Why? Because the Maiser Sheni is out of Yerushalayim. And that's even though the Avagav de Lavroi Pnei Chayma, that's even though the Maiser Sheni never yet saw the wall, the face of the wall of Yerushalayim, and never entered. So you see that not like the halacha of Rabbi Yechanan, that the Isser of eating Maisa Sheni out of Yerushalayim is even though it never went into Yerushalayim. Says the Gemara, no. The Eili, it's talking about where it went into Yerushalayim. He designated the name of Maisa Sheni on it. And then, Va'afki. And then he went and took it outside. Where as Maisa Sheni had already seen the face of the wall of Yerushalayim. So therefore, yeah, if then he took it out, then there would be a liability of three lashes. The reason why it's only two by Azar is because it's in Yerushalayim itself. That has the Gemara on this answer. Hachi Maila Memra. But if that's the case he's describing for Rabbi Yisi, then what is the necessity of his whole halacha? In other words, if you're going to say, as we were asking the question, that Maisa Sheni out of Yerushalayim, we get three sets of lashes, even though it never came into Yerushalayim, so that would be telling us the big chiddush, that the liability is even though it never came into Yerushalayim. And that would be a requirement for Rabbi Yisi to teach us, for the inference, not for his halacha itself, his halacha is when it's in Yerushalayim, but the inference would be a chiddush to say, but if it was Bigvul, if it was out of Yerushalayim, then it would be three sets of lashes. But if you're saying his whole halacha is that when it went in and it went out, then what's the chiddush? We don't need Rabbi Yisi's halacha and we don't need the inference. Because it's obvious that a Kohen gets lashes for eating Tevel and that a non-Kohen gets lashes for eating Truma and that they both get lashes for eating Maaser Sheni out of the wall of Yerushalayim. So what is the chiddush of Rabbi Yisi? So says the Gemara, it's not a difficulty. What we're talking about over here, Rabbi Yisi is going to Ailinu B'Tivlayu, that when this Kohen or Zar had brought the fig into Yerushalayim, it was still untithed. Where the Chiddush, as we're going to see, of Rabbi Yisi is that the walls still had captured the Maaser Sheni, which was ultimately going to be separated from this Tevel. Because Uksaver Matanish Lahurmu Kamisha Humradam. Rabbi Yisi holds that gifts, Kahana gifts, Levit gifts that weren't, or Maaser Sheni gifts that weren't separated, we consider it as if it's already separated. So it's as if the Maaser Sheni itself was brought into Yerushalayim. So it's as if it was Ra Panei Chayma. And therefore, when he takes it out, then there's going to be lashes, because since he took it out when it was still in the state of Tevel, that's the Chiddush. Even though it was never in its state of Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim, it was only Tevel. Still, that's the Chiddush Rabbi Yisi teaching us, that if you took it in and you took it out, it'd be a third set of lashes. What's the Chiddush? Chiddush is, because even though you didn't take it in its state of Maaser Sheni, it was still in the untithed produce. The Te'ena, the fig, was never yet separated from it Maaser Sheni, but inside of there was something that was going to be ultimately separated as Maaser Sheni. We consider as if the Maaser Sheni was already in, and then you took it out, and then you're going to be liable another set of lashes. That's the Chiddush in Rabbi Yisi's Halacha, which therefore doesn't contradict the premise of Rabbi Asim and Rabbi Yechanan, that it has to be that it went in and then went out. That Teretz the Gemara asks, V'sav Rabbi Yisi matanish lohormu kamisha hormadam? Is that really so, like you're saying, that the Tanya this Brice Rabbi Yisi holds that gifts that have to be separated from Tevel, which were not separated yet, we consider as if it's already separated, and hence when you bring it in the state of Tevel, it's like the Maaser Sheni already was in Yerushalayim? But V'tanya, which is actually a Mishnah Maaser Sheni, B'shim ben Yehuda oimer mishum Rabbi Yisi, he says over the name of Rabbi Yisi, that loy nechleko b'sham esil, there's no machlekes b'sham esil, al perish loy nigmer malachtim, regarding produce, which the work for it has not been finished yet, for it, for the halachas of Maaser, which as the Mishnah Masechet Tos Maasros and Seder Zeruim explains, when is it considered each produce, the end of its work, to be liable in the obligation of Maaser? By wheat, it's when you smooth out the pile of the grain. By gourds, is when you take off that little piece on the top, like on a pumpkin. So if the produce was not yet finished its work, V'avi b'Yerushalayim, and then pass through Yerushalayim. There, says Rabbi Yossi, everyone's going to agree. She'yipada ma'isa she'ena shalehen, v'yeichel b'chal makam. That you could still redeem that produce, and you could eat it and everywhere. It doesn't have to be in Yerushalayim. Because since the work was never finished, we don't say that it went through Yerushalayim. Once it goes in Yerushalayim, you can't redeem it anymore. We don't say it's Kemisha Humer Damin, as if the gifts in that Tevel were already separated and that it saw the face of the wall of Yerushalayim and then we can't redeem it anymore, because it wasn't even, the work wasn't even concluded yet. There wasn't even any obligation yet of Ma'aser to say that what's going to be Ma'aser is like it is right now. Rather, says Rabbi Yisrael, V'alman Nechlekut, so what's the case that this Machlek is B'sham Misel? Al Perish and Nigma Malachdom. The Avi B'Yerushalayim, produce that the work was done for it already. The obligation of Ma'aser already started on it, and it passed through Yerushalayim. But it's still in the state of Tevel. That's the Machlek. Shabashami, Amrim, Bishami say, so then Yachzer Ma'aser She'ni Shalehem, B'yechel B'Yerushalayim. Then you ultimately, when you separate your Ma'aser She'ni, wherever you live, far away from Yerushalayim, you got to bring it back to Yerushalayim and eat it over there, because Bishami hold that although the gifts, when they came through Yerushalayim, were not separated yet, it was Kemisha Homer Damin, and once it went to Yerushalayim, you can't redeem it anymore. Whereas the Beis Hillel, they say, no, you can redeem it, you can eat it wherever you want. Now says the Gemara, from the fact that Rabbi Yisi says, according to Beis Hillel, that you can redeem it, obviously that's how Rabbi Yisi holds, because we know, as the Gemara says elsewhere, that Beshami B'makam Beis Hillel, when you have a Machlekes Beshami Beis Hillel, Beshami is not even considered, the halacha is automatic like Beis Hillel. So for the fact that he's quoting Beis Hillel that says you can redeem it, obviously that Matanei Shlohumu, regarding the gifts that have to be separated, which were not segregated yet, we do not consider it like it was already separated, and therefore we don't view it like it already saw the wall of Yerushalayim, and therefore you could still redeem it. So ask the Gemara of the Isa Gedaydech, but if you're going to entertain to say, like the previous Gemara's answer was assuming, Matanei Shlohumu Kemisha Homer Dami, the Rebbe holds that the gifts that were not separated would be considered as if it was already separated, but I'll call it two machitzas, but then the walls already captured them for the obligation, and once it goes into the walls, you can't redeem it anymore. So how can Rebbe say that the halach is that you can redeem it? So I'm a rabbi, he differentiates between these two halachas of Rebbe Yisi. They're talking about similar but different halachas. Mechitza lechel, regarding the walls of Yerushalayim, regards to the obligation of eating the Ma'aser She'ni in Yerushalayim, that's their raisa, that's a biblical law. Mechitza likud, in contrast, regarding the halacha, is that the walls of Yerushalayim should capture it, regarding the laws of redemption or other things, that once it went into the walls, you can't redeem it anymore, that's drabbanan, that's only rabbinic law. Meaning to say that this, you can't redeem it, is a rabbinic prohibition. The fact that you can't eat it out of Yerushalayim, that's biblical. So therefore, v'chigaz Rabbanan, when did Rabbanan make that decree that, once it went into the airspace of Yerushalayim, it captured it, you can't go ahead and redeem it anymore? That was ki'isa be'enei. That's only when it was, as it is, the Ma'aser She'ni itself. B'tavle l'gaz Rabbanan, but when it was still in this untithe state, when it's inside over there, like shaloi hurmo adayin, there the Rabban did not make their decree that you cannot redeem it anymore, and therefore that doesn't contradict the two halachas of Rabbi Yisi. Yeah, if you brought it in, even the state of Tevel, and you take it out and you eat it, which is a biblical law, then there is a liability, and you're going to get lashes. But regarding that you brought it in the state of Tevel, and then you want to take it out and redeem it outside, that's a rabbinic law, that they didn't make a decree, unless the actual Ma'aser She'ni came in. Here was in the state of Tevel, not the actual Ma'aser She'ni, and therefore, even Rabbi Yisi would hold that one could redeem it outside. Now, the Gemara says, Ravinam, he says another approach. He says, this that we had asked on the halacha of Rabbi Yechanan, we had made an inference that it sounds like from Yisrael's halacha that why is the Tzar only going to have two sets of lashes in the case that was described? Because it's in Yerushalayim. But if he's eating it out of Yerushalayim, it would be three sets of lashes. So the Gemara asks, what's the chiddush of this teaching of Rabbi Yisi? Because as we said, you can't say it's talking about that it was never yet brought in, because that would contradict the halacha of Rabbi Yechanan. So says Ravina, another approach. Says, I could tell you the chiddush of Rabbi Yisi would be, for example, that the person who's walking into the walls of Yerushalayim, is he's walking in, and he's holding the Ma'aser She'ni produce on a long stick that's sticking out, and the produce is still out of Yerushalayim. And on that, the Chiddush of Rabbi Yisi is that it's as if the Ma'aser She'ni produce already came inside the wall of Yerushalayim, and therefore the person would get lashes of Leisucha Lecha B'Sherecha if he would then go out and eat it outside of Yerushalayim. And because although we said that the halacha is only once you go in and go out, and here the produce didn't go in, but since the person went in, we consider this the produce already went in too, which is v'tifshid b'yid rapapa, which this answers the question of Papa, as we had mentioned in the previous daf. He had asked, although we said that it has to be mimcha, mimlo echa, that all of you didn't go in, His question was, but that's if you're carrying the Ma'aser Sheni on your shoulder and it didn't come in, but the person came in. So then you can't redeem it anymore. But if, let's say, the person went in and the produce is not even on him, it's on the stick that's on him, then he had a question. Says Ravina, that's the case of Rabbi Yossi, which is telling us that, yes, that's already like it also went in already, and that's the case that he's describing, which is going to be the third set of lashes, because it's considered like he went in, and then it would be like he went out, which, yeah, that's the halacha of Rabbi Asim Rechanan, that's when you're liable for eating the Ma'aser Sheni outside of Yerushalayim. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing the theme of this parak, of those who get lashes for violating certain prohibitions. It says the Mishnah, Kireach Karcha Bereisha, if someone makes a bald spot on his head, as Gemara will explain, because of anguish over a close person of his that died, or V'hamakiv Pa'as Reisha, if someone rounds off the corners of his head, which there's no actual chiddush regarding this halacha, because we know that that's a person that's violating a Torah law that's going to get lashes. It's only because we want to tell you what is considered the corners of the head. That's why we describe this case, because it's not an exhaustive list of those who get lashes. And also, v'hamashchis pasekon, if someone destroys the corners of his beard, he does it in the way of destruction. Or v'hasarit srita achas ala meis, if someone cuts himself, he makes a wound in himself because of the pain of someone close to him that passed away. So chayiv, so regarding all these halachas, the person can be liable for lashes. Now, regarding this last case, says Rivan, it's not specifically if he does one cut. It's just because the Mishnah is going to differentiate between making one cut or two cuts. So therefore it says Rabbi, which he says that it would seem that not even to have that gear, so it's not necessarily to say if he does one cut. It's if he does a cut. Now, continues the Mishnah, Sarit Srita Achas Al-Chamisha Mesim. Let's say he makes one cut, but it's because of five different people who passed away. Or he makes five cuts for one person who passed away. So in that, the Gemara will show how that's included to add that chayav al kol achas v'achas, then he'll be liable for each one, meaning either for each cut for even one dead person, or even for that one cut for all five people, he'll be liable five different sets of lashes. Continues the Mishnah now, explaining the halachas that we mentioned. Al ha-roish, regarding rounding off the corners of the head, so that liability is going to be shtayim. There's going to be two sets of lashes that a person will be liable for cutting off his payas, because there's two corners to the head. Whereas Rivan describes that the head can be cut into two different parts. You have the place of where the hair is on the head, which is one part, and then you have the place, the part of the person, that's the face and the beard. That's another part. And they're connected, one with the other, by right in front of the side of the ear, which is the place called the temples. Now, that place where it connects is called the peah. That's the corner, because that's the edge of the head, which is the attachment of the two different parts of that we described, of the head and the face. So it comes out that there's two corners, because you have achas mikan v'achas mikan. You have a temple on one side, and you have a temple on another side, so therefore there's going to be two liabilities, even if someone would go ahead and take off both peahs with two hands at the same time. So even though it was one warning that was warned, al takif, don't cut off your payas, but since on this side there's a payah, on this side there's a payah, the Gemara tells us later on regarding the prohibition of making a bald spot or making a cut, where we learn out from Pasuk that you're liable for each bald spot and each cut separately. So although here we don't learn that from a Pasuk, but one could assume that just like we say that when it says in the Pasuk of a seret, which tells us you're liable for every single cut, here also for every payah, liability would be for every corner, because it's not really from the extra word in the Pasuk that we understand. It's the concept, as the Gemara will tell us later on, where it's happening at the same time and he's getting the same warning, which one is more than the other. The warning is going on both, and therefore he'd be liable for both payahs. Continues the Mishnah, Al-Hazakin, regarding the beard. So there's five corners to a person's beard. Shtayim mikan, v'shtayim mikan. There's two on, first of all, on either side of the face. You have one that's right beneath the area by the jawbone, by the ear, which is where the lower jaw connects with the upper jaw. That's called a corner. By that corner, that's where it juts out. That's the beginning of the beard. Anything higher than that, all the way up to the temple, is considered part of the payas of the head. Now, there's two, what we call shibailis, which is a bar, the grain of wheat, But that's a reference to the edge of the cheek, which is on the bottom, which is to where the jaw goes down, where that ends on either side. That's also called a peya. So you have two on either side. The top of the cheek, one could call it by the ear, which is the where the jaw connects with the upper part of the head. And then you have on the bottom of the jaw where that ends, there on the bottom is another side. So you have two on either side, that's four. V'achas malmata, and then you have the hair that's between those two corners, right in the center of the chin, that's a fifth spot where the halacha, the peyah, is one is not allowed to take up the peyah in any situation. Whereas in the beard, as we'll see, it's regarding, as the Mishnah said, describing a case of hashchasa, there's a certain way that one is not allowed to take off the beard of the hair. As the Mishnah describes exactly what's the parameters or what type is forbidden by cutting off the hair of the beard. Now, Rabbi Eliezer, I mean, he says, however, im nitlu kulon ka'achas, he says, if you take off all of them at the same time, he says, in the chayv al-achas, he holds that there's only going to be one liability. Now, continues, and this is the Tanakhama speaking, because Rabbi Eliezer disagrees on this, the ein chayv ad she'itlenu betar, the liability of cutting off the hair of the beard is only liable if one does it with a razor, which is what, as we described, hamashches pasakon, has to be a way of destruction, which totally uproots the hair. Rabbi Yazim, he says, no, I feel a lakta b'malakar d'berhitni chayiv, even if one cuts it off or picks it out with different types of tools like planes, which are ways of getting it off, even that, even though it's not a razor, would also be a liability for destroying the corners of the beard. Now, the Gemara explains the opening halacha of our Mishnah. Talking about learning the Brisa, the pasuk says, "Meikur leikurchu." You're not allowed to make a bald spot. So, yochel afilo karach arba v'chamash kriches. I would think that even if a person makes four or five bald spots, lo yehichay v'la'achas, would only be liable for one. It's the same iser. Tamaloy makarcha. So there's an extra word seemingly says leikurchu. Don't make a bald spot. What's leikurchu karcha? Don't make a bald spot. Sounds redundant. Is lechayv v'kol karcha v'karcha. That comes to teach that he's liable for every single bald spot. Now, Bereshimatayim Alema, what does the pasuk come to teach when it says, you don't make a bald spot on their head? Which, as Rivan explains, the question is not precise. Because obviously you need that word, because then you would think that any bald spot anywhere. It's just that the Gemara is darshaning that the word Bereshim sounds like in the entire head. And the reason for that is because Lefish Nema, the pasuk says in Devarim, Loitis Goydidu, which this pasuk is told on by a non-Kohen, by Yisrael, whereas the pasuk we're quoting, B'li'ikuchu, was by Kohanim. So it says, Loitis Goydu, don't make a cut on yourself, and don't make a bald spot between your eyes because of a person that died. Now, based on that pasuk, I would think that the prohibition of making a bald spot is only between the eyes, meaning on the head, that's near the forehead, right deep, like by the area between the eyes. How do I know to include anywhere on the head that there's a liability for making a bald spot because of the anguish of a person who died? That's what a pasuk is teaching when it says on the head. Larabbis coloresh is coming to include the entire head. No, but the ainly, I would only know that the liability is on the whole head. Only by kahanim, because the pasuk that we're bringing in Vayikra is by kahanim. And the reason why I would say, and because it's the same type of psukim by Yisrael and by kahanim. And the reason why I would say that it applies just by kahanim, the stringency of the whole head, is Shariba ben akasim mitzvah siseris. We find that the Torah has many more obligations and mitzvahs on kahanim than Yisraelim. So Yisrael meinayin, how would I know that even the Yisrael is not only between his eyes, right there on the top of his head, but it's even the whole head? So that we know from Gzeirah Shavah, Nemer kan karcha, it says it'll be in Devarim by Yisrael, it says the word bald spot. For Nemel han karcha, it says the same word by a kain in Sefer Yikra, bald spot. Which teaches us malahan chayav kol karcha v'karcha, just like over there as we just darshaned before, which is the pasuk in Biyukah by the Kain, that's a liability for every single bald spot, and also v'chayav al harish kibin enayim, and the liability is on the whole head, just like between the eyes. Afkan, so to over here by Yisrael, chayav kol karcha v'karcha, he's liable for every single bald spot, v'chayav al harish kibin enayim, he's also liable that on the whole head, like he is between the eyes. Now, moreover, it goes the other way to the Gzer Shavah. Just like over there by Yisrael, it says specifically that the prohibition is because if he's making the bald spot because of anguish over a person who died, Afkan al-Meis, also over here by the Kohen, although it doesn't mention it, the liability is only if he does it because of a person that died. Now, the Gemara asks an explanation of this halacha that we mentioned, which it says in our Mishnah, what is this case that we're saying that, oh, you're going to be liable for each one individually, that for even if you do four or five bald spots, what is that case description? As the Gemara explains, if you're saying that he makes one bald spot, then afterwards another one, then after another one, and every time he's about to make another bald spot, he got a warning that you're not allowed to do that, and there's going to be a punishment. So pshit, it's obvious that he's going to get four or five sets of lashes because he had a separate asra for each separate maisa, for every separate action. So rather, as we continue to medbe, it's ela b'chad asra. Rather, you're going to say, no, that there was only one warning, which the Rivan says not to be gurus b'vas achas at one time, but rather it's that the warning was at one time. But he, when he's coming to make the bold spots, he's doing it one after another. And that's the Gemara, mi mechayiv? Would he then be liable? How could that be that the Mishnah's halacha would be true, that he'd be liable for each one? But what's not? We'll learn the Mishnah on the next staff, Machavalav Manaf, that says, Nazir, a person that's a Nazir that took a vow that he's not going to partake of any wine, shall yeshoyse yan kolayim, that in spite of that, in violation of that law, he was drinking wine the entire day. Says the Mishnah, in a chayv al achas, he's only going to be liable for one set of lashes, because since he was only warned one time, even though his drinking was consecutive, it's not simultaneous because you can't drink the whole day at one time. So therefore, you see from this halacha, although that he's doing many different acts of drinking, but since he only had one warning, he's only going to get one set of lashes. In contrast, amrulay al tishta. If they warned him the entire time, every time before he took another drink, they said, don't drink, and don't drink, and don't drink, and still he drinks the whole day, then he'll be liable for each set of drinking. But you see that if there's only one warning, you're not liable for each bold spot that you make. So how do we understand the case of the Mishnah? Either it's obvious or it's not true. Says the Gemara, it's necessary. He smeared onto each one of his five fingers of his hand this type of the pillatory that takes off here, and whoever puts it on here that usually grows, it's not going to grow anymore, which is going to make a bald spot. Now, and he puts those five fingers at one shot on his head in five different places, which makes five different bald spots with one warning. Now, since it was done at one shot, then we say, what do you see fit to say that the warning should be on this finger more than this finger? So it has to go on every finger. Because you can't call that what's known as asra safik, a doubtful asra, because maybe it's on the left finger, on the pinky finger and not the middle finger. You can't say that. Because here the warning was on all the fingers at one shot. And hasra safik is only if we don't know if it's going to happen. Here it's going to be very clear the next second if he's going to be concerned with our hasra or not, if he's going to do it. And therefore, it's considered definitive and definite hasra, and therefore, that's the case, that's the chiddush of our Mishnah, where it's considered as if he had hasra on each and every one, and that's why it's going to be liability for even four or five bold spots that he makes on his head. The Gemara continues, v'kama shir karcha. Now, how much is the measurement? What's considered the minimum measurement to be considered a bold spot to be liable? So Rav Hunayim, he says, as long as you could see the flesh of his head naked, meaning not covered by his hair anymore, that's considered a bald spot to be liable. Rav Shimon, he says, kigris, has to be the size of a bean. Which the Gemara tells, it's like a machlekes tanoim. As the Braisa says, kamashir karcha, how much is the measurement of a bald spot? So the first opinion says, kigris, the size of a bean. Achayim, I mean, the others say, kideshir mereisha, as long as you could see the skin of his head, not covered by his hair. Now, Amr Yehuda bar Chaviva, he says, pligi batlasa tanoim. He says, it's actually a three-way machlekes tanoim. Chadayim kegris, one says the size of a bean. V'chadayim kedeshiru amereisha, one says that as long as you could see the skin of his head. V'chadayim kishtei saris, the other one says if he makes a bald spot of taking away two hairs. Now says the Gemara, v'ikad demapik shtei saris, those who take out the third opinion and say that it's not that opinion wasn't two hairs, rather ma'ail b'kadosh, they put in the word that the size of a lentil. That's the minimum measurement. And v'semonech, and a mnemonic to recall that it wasn't the opinion of, let's say, bean taken out, and that in place of that you should put in the lentil, but rather is the one of the two hairs that's taken out, and in that place you put the lentil. A way to remember that is a Mishnah Masechtas Negayim that talks about a halacha regarding the Negayim, and it tells us by Haris Kegris, the nega itself, which is that discoloration, has to be the size of a bean, umichri bekadosha, and the raw skin, which is actually a sign of tuma inside that nega, is the size of a lentil, where here also is the same idea. By the measurement of the bald spot, there is both opinions of a bean and of a lentil. And from there we would know that because you don't take out the opinion of the bean, it's going to be a bean or a lentil, but rather you would take out the opinion of the two hairs. Because as Rivan tells us, the other opinion, that of to be able to see the skin of the head, that we wouldn't have to tell you that that's not the one, because that's equal to everyone, because that's not a set amount how much that is. We're talking about set amounts, which one would be the one you're taking away the one of two hairs, and in that place putting lentils, so that you would have both which we have the mnemonic from that mission over there, both the size of a bean and that of a lentil. Now, continuing on this halacha, Tanya learned in the Braisa, Noitil Maloi Pi Hazug B'Shabbos. If someone cuts off from the hair of his head, which is prohibited because of geizes, the amount of the tip of a scissor head on Shabbos, Chayiv is liable for that isra of Chil Shabbos. Now, but Kama Maloi Pi Hazug, how much is the amount of a tip of a scissor of cutting which would be liable? I'm reviewing the Ishtayim, that refers to two hairs. Ask the Gemara, but Tanya, the Braisa learned over there, and that's why we bring in this halacha. It continues and it says, but in regards to the laws of Lekarcha, regarding the Isra of making a bald spot on his head, that time, that's two hairs. So you see that two hairs is not the same as Maloi Piazog, which is the amount of a scissor head. Which the Gemara says, no, Emesei, Vechein, Lekarcha Shtayim. So too, that for a bald spot is also two hairs, and it's coming to explain that how much is a scissor tip is two hairs. And the Gemara says, "Tanam halacha similar in the Braisa. Hanoitim le pi azug b'shabes chayiv. If someone cuts off the tip of a scissor amount of his hair on Shabbos, he's liable." Says the Braisa, "Vekamam le pi azug. How much is it? That's time. That's two hairs." But Rabbi Yezam, he disagrees over there, and he says, "Achas is even one hair." Now says the Braisa, "Umaydim chacham le Rabbi Yezam." Although they disagree regarding what's usually the minimum amount of hair to be cut off to be liable, is it two hairs or one hair? But the Chacham agreed to Rabbi Yezam that it would be one hair if it's talking about b'malakit, when he's picking out hairs that are levenis mitech shcheris, when he's picking out one white hair from his black hair. Because since people are particular when there's a white hair between all his black hairs, so that he shouldn't look old, so we say that when he picks out even that one hair from the dark hairs, that's considered a malacha chashuva, which is considered a distinct and a distinguished act that you're doing. And there they would agree that a full achas shuchav, that even one hair, a person would be liable because of geizes, because of shearing, taking off his hair, because since he's very concerned for that, although generally two is the minimum, in that case one would be liable too. And says the Gemara, but davazaf el b'chay laser, and that actually, of taking out one hair from the black hairs, is not only, according to everyone, Chil Shabbos of Geizes, but that's actually prohibited even during the weekday because he's beautifying him in the ways of how women are. And that's Mishum Shenem, because the Pasuk says in Devarim, Lo Yilbash Gever Simlas Isha, a man's not allowed to wear the clothing of a woman, which refers to certain acts of beautification that women do too, which is prohibited for a man to do. Now the Mishnah said the next case regarding those that get lashes, Vamakiv Pas Reisha Bechulu, if someone cuts off the corners, he rounds off the corners of his head, so then he's going to be liable in two sets of lashes. Tanban Linda Braisa explains this halacha. When it says pa'as reishai, the corners of his head, it means seif reishai, it means the end of his head. Which says the Gemara, ve'ezehu seif reishai, what's the end of his head? In other words, in what way would the one who's rounding off the end of his head be liable for this isra of baltakivu? So says the Braisa, the way a person's hair is on his head is that behind his ear, there's no hair. So too on his forehead, there's no hair. But on by his temples, on the side between those two areas, there is hair. So the liability of cutting off payas is zeha mashva, this one who evens out and takes off all the hair that's by tzedav, by his temples, and he makes that equal to la'achari azna ulapadachte, to what's behind his ear and to what's his forehead. That's the one who is rounding off the edge of his head. So now it's all just one mushroom, cuts off that area. That's the liability for someone who's cutting off his payas. Now, Tani Tani Kamid Rav Chizda, a teacher of Bryce, is taught in front of Rav Chizda the following halacha, that Echad Amakev Echad Anikev Leike, both the one who cuts off the hair and the one who's getting his ear cut get lashes for that issur of cutting of payas. Which Amalei Rav Chizda said to him, Man da ochel tamri barbil alaki, which means someone who eats dates from a sieve gets lashes. Basically, like, why should a person who does that get lashes? Why should someone who's getting his payas cut off, what did he do wrong that he should get lashes? Even if you'll say he's violating the issur of payas being cut, but he didn't do an action. And to get lashes, one has to do an action. So rather, says Rav Chizda, the amalach mani. If anyone's going to ask you, who are you saying this b'risa like when you're saying the nikif, the one who's getting his payas cut off is getting lashes, you have to tell him, then Rabbi Yehudi, it's going like Rabbi Yehuda. The amma that he says is recorded earlier, Dav Dalet and Dav Tazayin, the lav shein b'maisa like in love, he holds that if someone violates a negative prohibition, even without an action in the passive way, he gets lashes, and here also, it's a lav shein b'maisa, because here he's just sitting, and we're saying that he's considered, like he's violating the issa of Lisa Kifu. Why are we saying that he even violates that issa? So either because when the pasuk says lo takifu, it sounds like don't allow yourself to have your payas cut off, which is considering this guy as if he's cutting it himself, or it's from the plurality of the word. It says, Litaikifu, in the plural, you should not do it, which sounds like it's going on two people, both the makif and the nikif. Now, Rav Amar, he says, no, you don't have to say that this teaching of the Braisa was like a Behuda, which this person who had taught the teacher of Braisa in front of Chizda. Because you could say, it's talking about b'makif la'atzmai, when the guy gives his own haircut, when he rounds it off himself. And that's the chiddush that he's going to be liable for two sets of lashes, one for being the makif and the nikif, where you would think that he'd only be liable for one because he's doing one action. That's the chiddush that, no, he's the one cutting it off and he's the one getting cut off. And moreover, his getting cut off was done through an action. And therefore, you could say that the Braisa, like everyone, you don't have to say that it's going on like Rabbi Yehuda. Another approach, also Rav Ashi, he says, you could say b'misayeya. You could say that the one who's getting his pay off is assisting the barber. How is he doing? He's preparing the hairs for the one who's cutting it, moving with an action and helping the one who's cutting to cut off the payas. And therefore, again, also the Divrei HaKol, you could be saying it's going like everybody, not only according to Rabbi Yehuda, because it's a lam sheyesh b'maisa by getting his payas cut off. Now the Mishnah said, continued, Vamashkes Pasakana, another one who gets lashes, someone who destroys the corners of his beard. So turn from Linda Braisa, Pasakana, when it says the corners of his beard, it means Saifsakana, the edges, the points of his beard, which says the Braisa, the Ezeu Saifsakana, what's the points of his beard? Shiboilis Zikne, which the word Shiboilis literally means say, like the ear of grain of his beard, but as Rivan explains, it refers to all the five corners, which were mentioned in the Mishnah. They're all part of the Shibaylis. It's the areas that stick out, that jut out. Those are the corners, which we said that by the bone, right under that bone of the jaw, and by the bottom of that, towards the edge of the cheek, towards the middle of the chin, on both sides, that's four, and then the middle of the chin is five. Those are the, if someone cuts off his beard, the five sets of lashes, if he does it in a destructive way, like we said in one opinion of the Mishnah, if he does it, let's say, with a razor. Now the Mishnah continued and said another halacha is v'masarit srita achas v'chulu. If someone cuts himself because of a dead person, so then he's going to be liable for lashes. So talking about in the Braisa that explains this halacha, it says in the Mayikra v'seret, if someone cuts, so yochla filas seret al beisa shenafel. You would think if someone's cutting in anguish, even because of his house that collapsed, or v'asfinase shetefa bayam, or because of his ship that sank at sea. Tamalem l'nefesh, that's what the pasuk says. No, only if he's cutting because of a soul, of someone who passed away. In the chayav, el mes mavad, only liable because of a person who died. Continues the Braisa, which was a halacha that we said in our related to the halacha of our Mishnah. Umenai lemesarit chamesh shritas al mes echad. How do we know that if he makes five cuts for one person who died, shulchayav kol achas ma'achas, it'll be liable for each cut? Tamalem v'seret, that's what the pasuk teaches us when it says v'seret, where it could have said either lenefesh leisisritu instead of v'seret lenefesh leisitnu. So I'm saying the word v'seret first is coming to say that l'chayva kol srita v'sita, that you're liable for each cut individually. Or it's actually from the word v'seret. What's the v'seret? The extra vav is saying a ribur to say that he's liable for every single cut. Now Rabbi Yisi, I remember, where he's just coming to add on to the liability, which our Mishnah actually said both of these versions. Minayin l'mesaret srita achas al hei mesim. How do we know that someone makes one cut, but he's having in mind because of anguish of five people who died? So l'chayva kol achas v'achas, he's liable for each one of those people. That's the pasuk teaches for the soul. L'chayv kol nefesh v'nefesh, that he's liable for each and dead person that he's having in mind. Now the Gemara asked, but v'afikse l'beisa shenafel l'svinasa shetava b'yam. How could you say the word l'nefesh comes to teach for every dead person? You already used it to tell us that it's only because of a person who died to exclude if he's in anguish over his house that collapsed or his ship that sank at sea. The Gemara continues, tabach chaval v'nalav. K'sav Reb Yisi, Yisi holds that because he's learning l'nefesh for something else. So how does he know that it has to be for a dead person? It's because he holds the srita begedida achasi, as we'll see that discussion on the next daf, that the term of cutting, which is two different terms mentioned in the Torah regarding a dead person, one's srita, one's gedida, are both the same, because both refer to whether if one does it by hand or if one does it with a tool. So therefore, they both refer to the same thing. Uksiv hasim, it says over there by gedida, lames, it says leitas gaidu, leitas timu karchu, because of a dead person. So already know from leitas gaidu, which refers to the same thing as srita, that it can't be because of a dead person. So therefore, we know that here it's also only applying to a dead person. So lenefesh doesn't have to be used for that. So therefore, according to Rabbi Yis, you could use lenefesh to tell you that even if you do one cut, but it's because of five different dead people, lenefesh comes to include every single person.